Today, we're talking running backs. And honestly, this might be the position group I'm most excited about in 2026. So what's up, No Nation? I'm Jesse. That's Michael. We are the guys from Plant the Spear, and we are continuing to roll out our preseason content. As Michael, it is now July, officially. Florida State plays a football game next month. Now, that might not be exciting for some of us, or it might be. But as we always talk about, man, a bug to a bug zapper. Look, anytime Florida State's taking the field, we're going to be excited. So we're going to continue with our position preview series. And as I mentioned, man, today we're talking running backs. And I think we got some pretty good pieces at the running back position. So I'm excited to dig into this one, man, and look at these running backs for this upcoming season.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We are only a month away, and whether you're excited about this or not, this is going to be, as I coined in a recent article on plantthespear.com, this is the referendum season. This is it. And as we look at this team, one of the segments of this referendum will be this running back room, which, Jesse, in my opinion, is our most complete position group on the team. This is the one position I believe you don't have to worry about, because you have a little bit of everything you need in that running back room, and I'm excited to get into that.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing, I was talking with somebody the other day about this team, and it's like, it's so hard to predict what the season's going to look like, because I could see both ends of the spectrum, right? They got some really nice pieces, and I think when you talk about the nice pieces, obviously Deuce Robinson is going to take the headlines at the wide receiver position. But I think where you got to start with probably your next layer of excitement is at the running backs. And you know, you obviously had Chroma there, and we're going to get into the personnel. But then you bring in Trey Wisner from Texas, which, you know, adds to that mix. And like you said, you have a good mix. And man, I'm excited. So let's jump right in. Let's go ahead and talk about these running backs here. Before we do that, obviously, I want to bring you guys a quick word from today's sponsor, and that is Alumni Hall FSU. Look, like we talked about, we're just about 2 months away from football season. So now there's never been a better time to go ahead and stock up on gear for the season. I've been telling myself, man, you got to get on there and pick out some new gear, because the season is coming up. And Alumni Hall has all the great gear that you're going to want. So make sure you check them out. If you're in Tallahassee, their location is 1415 Timber Lane Road. Or you can shop online. Make it easy on yourself. AlumniHall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page. Have it shipped right to your front door. And, of course, while you're shopping there, make sure you save 10% with code SPEAR. So we appreciate you guys supporting them and for them sponsoring this show. Now, I will preface this show with, I am a little bit under the weather, if you couldn't already tell. So my voice is going to sound a little bit rough. So I do apologize about that. And, Michael, there's two other things that I just want to get out of the way before we start talking about the running backs here. And the first of that is, man, I really just, I got to tip the cap to our listeners, man. I got to say thank you to you guys. Look, last episode, we came on here and we did the quarterback preview. It went great. If you guys haven't seen that yet, I definitely suggest you check that out. But I came on here and I said, man, we are less than 100 subscribers from hitting 3,000 on YouTube. And it was a really big milestone that we were trying to hit. And you guys came through, man. We gained 65 subscribers in the last week. So, man, again, shout out to you guys. Again, well, like we always say, you guys are as much a part of the show as we are. So, man, I cannot thank you enough for the support that you've given us this last week. And the second thing, this is more of a trigger warning that I have to provide. Look, if you're not positive about FSU football, you might want to buckle up for this episode, because we've been a little bit positive in our last two shows. This one, you better prepare, all right? Yeah. Because I'm feeling pretty good about this running back room that we got going on here. So, Michael, let's talk about that. And let's start with the setup a little bit first. Before we get into the personnel, let's just kind of talk about how, you know, it's a different offense this year, right? Yeah. We Gus Malzahn is no longer the OC. Obviously, we know Mike Norvell is going to be calling plays here. You know, and Mike Norvell likes to use his running backs. Like, I expect to see a lot of 21 personnel, two running backs, one tight end, because he's going to try and get these guys involved. And especially when you got two good ones like we do this year and a handful of contributed guys that contribute at a high level, he's going to find ways to get these guys involved. They usually, on average, at Florida State, have accounted for about 20% of the receptions throughout the year. So he's going to get the ball to them, you know, any way he can, whether that's through throwing the ball to them, or, you know, or handing off, or whatever he's going to do, get creative to kind of get them involved in the game. Because when you got playmakers at the running back position, man, you got to find ways to get them involved in the game. And, you know, for everything that we love or don't love about Mike Norvell, he has produced some pretty good rushing offenses in his day. Even when you look back to last year, you know, they averaged over 200 yards on the ground. Now, we know that was a Gus Malzahn signature of running the ball heavily. But, you know, in 2022, man, that offensive line was I don't want to say elite, but they were really darn good. And that was a team that averaged over 200 yards on the ground per game. I think they rushed for over 200 yards in 8 games, I think it was, out of that season. Yes. So he's put together some pretty good rushing offenses in his time as a coach. And then again, man, even in 2020, when really we could only run the ball because we didn't have a quarterback that we felt comfortable with, they averaged around 200 yards a game on the ground then too. So I do expect, given the construction of this team this year, we're going to be leaning heavily on the ground game again in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a Mike Norvell staple since he's, I mean, go back all the way to his time at Arizona State. He loves the ground game. He believes the ground game has to set up the pass, not the other way around. Now, obviously, he will call a bunch of pass plays if the defense is bringing, 7 or 8 in the box there. But he wants to run that ball, and he loves to run it through his favorite play that we talk about all the time, counter. That's a guard, tackle, or guard, tight end. That's, the offense going one way, that those two are coming back the other way, the running back comes that way. He loves that play. To Jesse's point, he loves the 21 personnel, 2 running backs, 1 tight end. And Jesse, don't be surprised if you see a little bit of go offense. Remember we were courting, I can't think of his name right now.
Oh yeah. Brendan something like that. Yeah.
We were courting him for a potential offensive coordinator role.
Brendan Marion.
Don't be surprised if you see Mike Norvell take some of what he does in his go offense, where you have the quarterback and then 2 running backs to the side and run some of that. I think we might see some of that come into the Norvell offense there as well too. But he loves the running game. He's going to want to set up the run. And what I think is going to be a little bit different was last year, the biggest issue we had was, man, you'd get one running back that was hot, and then he'd get taken off the field and you wouldn't see him again. Remember, I can't remember what game it was, but Sam Singleton broke out like 2 big runs and then you didn't see him for the rest of the game. Well, with Mike Norvell, he's usually going to settle on 1 to 2 running backs, and then he's going to ride those guys until they're not hot or until the game is over. So I think if you were worried about the running back rotation, I think you're going to be excited about what comes back to the running back room this season.
Yeah, and that was the weirdest thing, I think, it was. Really, of last season, because they even came out before the season and they said, like, David Johnson stood at the podium and said, like, yeah, they typically like to feature 1 to 2 backs, and that's really what we're going to focus on. And then it was like 1 to 200 backs. It was what are we doing?
And I think this is that was one of the key, Jesse, indicators of the rift between Malzahn and Norvell, that they weren't seeing eye to eye on this. And David Johnson's kind of like the kid in the middle. Yeah. But I think Norvell wanted to just feature 1 to 2, but Gus wanted to just and which weird, because in a Gus Malzahn offense, you go back to his days in Auburn and at Arkansas, he likes to have one guy and run him to death. But for some reason, he just wanted to be the opposite of what Norvell wanted in the play calling last season with the running backs.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. And to your point, I do think, because Mike Norvell, without throwing shade at Gus directly, because that is kind of, his mentor and stuff like that, he did come out and was basically like, look, there were some things I really didn't agree with last year, that I really didn't like how we handled some things. And I think that was one of the biggest things. Maybe it was just too much of trying to keep somebody happy, which in a way kind of makes you feel like, why did we bring in Trey Wisner then when you had Chroma? But again, man, I look kind of like hedging your bet against injury by having at least 2 good backs there. Now, the one thing you got to say up front, obviously, is this is going to be heavily dependent on the offensive line.
Right.
That is the one thing that kind of sucks the most about running back, is like, you can be a great running back, but if you have a terrible, unless you're Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter who you have in front of you. Like, your success can be heavily influenced by the offensive line. But again, and I'll talk about this later, but Herb Hand has proven he can put together some good offensive lines, and I'm going to trust him until he gives us reason not to. So, again, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But the other big change that you got to talk about in this running back room that actually makes me feel better about not only the personnel, but just the way things are going to shake out, is we do have a new running backs coach. We just talked about David Johnson, and the new running back coach for this year is one of the other reasons I'm really excited about this room, and that is Cam Martin. Like, he might be one of the biggest stories of the running back position this year, because, man, he has produced a 1,000-yard rusher every single season that he's been a position coach. That's 4 seasons, and it's been at 3 different programs. So it's not like he just, had a Dalvin Cook in his back pocket that made him look really good, right? 3 of those running backs went over 1,400 yards. And you know, I'm not here to hate on like Yak. I like David Johnson as a guy, as a coach and everything. But going back and looking through his history, he has never produced a 1,000-yard running back in his coaching career. And he actually coached wide receivers more often than not. So he just had experience with running backs. So he was kind of one of them like Swiss Army knives coaches. Like if you needed him at wide receiver, he could coach that. If you needed him at running back, he could coach that. But he had never produced a 1,000-yard receiver. And so far, Cam Martin has produced a 1,000-yard receiver running back every single season that he's been a position coach. In 2022, he coached the FCS leader in rushing yards with 1,436. In 23 and 24, he coached R.J. Harvey at UCF, who had back-to-back 1,400-yard seasons. Oh, by the way, Herb Hand was the offensive line coach for both of those seasons. So he had a bell cow back there, turned into an NFL draft pick. And then in 2025, he goes to Tulsa and coached a 1,000-yard running back there as well. So, man, he's got a really proven history track record of producing good running backs. Now, speaking of Cam Martin and the rotation that we just talked about, here's where I'm going to be really interested in how they handle this rotation this year. Because, you know, we talked about how Gus Malzahn typically liked to feature one running back. Right. Well, that goes for Cam Martin, too, when you look at his history. Like, I went back and looked at those 4 years that we just talked about, and typically he's featuring one guy. So I'm kind of wondering who's going to be that bell cow this year. Is it Trey Wisner? Is it Kroma? How do you split the carries between those guys? You also got Ashton Daniels that you have to figure into the running game. That's going to be taking some carries out of that bucket as well. But like looking back at those 4 years, the feature back typically goes north of 200 carries. And then the second running back is usually below 100. So somebody's probably going to be getting the majority of the carries in here. We just don't know which one. But the hard part, I mean, it's a wealth of riches, man, because you got two good ones that you can choose between. So I'm going to definitely be – that's one thing I'm going to be watching this year is kind of how they do this rotation. Now, I do think that is the number one thing with the running back room more than anything, as you brought up before. You just got to fix the ridiculous rotation that we saw last year. Yeah. I think, you know, from a standpoint of Wisner and Kroma, those are obviously your top two. I kind of view them more as a 1A, 1B rather than a 1 and 2. And I think those guys will probably end up getting 80 to 90% of the running back carries in games that actually matter, condensing, you know, that rotation quite a bit from what we saw last year. Obviously, you could have that feature back and then kind of a running back 2. But, you know, it's kind of hard to choose between Wisner and Kroma because, again, like I said, you kind of got a wealth of riches there. Now, I'm sure you'll see when it comes to, like, Central Arkansas and stuff like that, that's when you'll start to see – you know, a Sam Singleton get a load of the carries there. But yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But so far, man, I mean, just knowing that you got Cam Martin, a proven producer of running backs at the coaching position, makes me feel extra special about what this position group can be in 2026.
Yeah. Again, when was FSU's last 1,000-yard rushing season?
You know, actually, it's kind of funny when you talk about that because it's kind of nuanced to a degree. Like Cam Akers technically was the last one to break 1,000 yards, I think in 2017, I think it was, went just north of 1,000 yards. But Trey Benson, I think, had like 998 in the season. So if you technically, by technicality, if you want to say who's the last 1,000-yard rusher, it's kind of crazy to think it's been since 2017.
It's been since
almost 10 years.
17. Now, this is coming from a university, Jesse, that has historically been like we call it RBU, right? We're DBU, right? I mean, we've had some incredible running back, and it's almost been 10 years since we've had a real 1,000-yard rusher. So I love the fact that we brought in Cam Martin, who has in every season produced a 1,000-yard rusher. I believe we should get back to having that work, that cowbell of the offense, running the ball behind a decent, hopefully, to better offensive line with Herb Hand coaching that. I'm excited to see what he can produce this year from the running back room.
Yeah, the only thing that I have a question about with Cam Martin is, like, are you going to be able to keep the streak going? Because exactly. If you have two good running backs, are you going to be able to have one go over 1,000 if you got two good ones splitting carries? So that'll be the one thing to watch. But now let's get into the personnel, because this is where, again, you know, it starts to get exciting when you look at who you got. And I'm going to start with Trey Wisner, Texas transfer running back, comes in 6 foot, 201 pounds. He is a senior, so he's your veteran in the room here. Appeared in 38 games with 21 starts over three seasons at Texas. 2024 was his breakout year, 226 attempts, 1,064 yards, 4.7 yards per carry, and 5 touchdowns on the ground. Added another 44 receptions for 311 yards and a touchdown through the air. Now, I do have to caveat that with that was in 15 games because obviously Texas made the playoffs that year. So, you know, you're talking about a 1,000-yard back on a playoff team. He led Texas in rushing both season of the last two seasons in 24 and 25. But in that 15-game season, he did miss a game and only had single-digit carries in 4 games as he was splitting reps. It kind of really – he started a little bit slow, and then he kind of got the full starting position to, later in the year. So he probably – you know, his workload got bigger as the season progressed, so he probably could have went a little bit north of where he was at had he got more carries. But still, man, he had 4 100-yard games during that season. All versus power four defenses. So it's not like he was out here, you know, just eating up a bunch of cupcakes. 110 yards, 7.33 yards per carry, and 2 touchdowns versus Clemson that year, a year that Clemson made the playoffs. So that's an opponent that's on your schedule this year. And you know what, man? I don't know what kind of hate in his heart he has for Texas A&M, but that man terrorized Texas A&M. I'm pretty sure the Aggies are more than happy to see him transfer out of Texas because, man, that 24 season, he put up 186 yards against Texas A&M, 147 after contact. Man, so he was top 25 in the Power Four with a minimum snap filter applied of 109 total running backs. During that 24 season, he was top 25 among Power Four running backs in yards, PFF run grade, missed tackles forced, yards after contact, and runs of 10-plus and 15-plus. That 2024 season, man, was electric from him by all means. And now you go on to 2025. Yes, the production numbers did drop due to him missing time with injury, but his averages were still on par with 2024. Yep. He just played in 6 fewer games. So the numbers dipped, but the average, he was still as impactful just at a smaller workload.
Right.
So when you look at 131 attempts, 597 yards, 4.6 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, added 22 receptions, 146 yards and a touchdown there, put up 80 yards on Ohio State, who had the number 7 ranked rush defense, put up 94 yards on Oklahoma that season, who had the number 3 ranked rush defense. He also rushed for, again, 155 yards on Mike Elko's defense at Texas A&M. So I know them boys. Like, New Mexico State is, you know, their mascot's the Aggies. He might run for 200 on them just for good old time's sake. But, man, like, when I watched, you know, again, what I get back to when you talk about the comparison between 24 and 25, he led the team in rushing both seasons, and his numbers were on par, right? So when you look at 24 versus 25, he averaged 15 attempts per game at 70.9 yards per game in 24, 14.6 and 66.3 in 25, 4.7 yards per carry versus 4.6. So his averages were right there. Again, he just missed a lot of time with injury. Now, when I turn on the film, man, I get really excited about watching Trey Wisner. And shout out to the guy. I can't remember his username right now, but I know it has OU sucks in it, which is how I do remember it. But he is a Texas fan, and he has commented on a few of our shows now. So I appreciate that as well. And saying, like, look, man, he was our best running back. And, you know, typically when a guy leaves a team, oh, he ain't no good. We don't need him anyway. But, like, when the fans come out and say, like, we're going to miss him, that typically tells you the guy was an impactful player for their team. So, man, just watching his film, and I'll knock these out and then I'll throw it back to you. He's a veteran back. He's a senior. He's been around for a while. He's battle-tested. He's played against good defenses in big environments and is a proven producer. You know, he's not coming from the lower level like a guy we're going to talk about later. He's played in playoff games, all that good stuff. He's had very good PFF grades in both seasons as a starter. When you watch his film, man, he's – the things that really stand out to me is contact balance. He's very good at staying on his feet. He's a physical runner who seeks contact. There was actually a clip I posted on Twitter not long ago of when he was a freshman. He was on special teams, and I mean, absolutely lit this dude up on a kickoff coverage. So, like, when you got a guy, a running back out here laying dudes out like a linebacker, I mean, that's a guy that tells you he's a hard-nosed runner, right? He's got good vision, power to break tackles, and enough speed that, man, if he gets in space, he'll make you pay. Like, he'll turn a 2-yard gap into a 10-yard gain. The one thing, I'm going to knock on a little bit of wood right here, only 2 career fumbles. So that's pretty good.
Like
And over 300 carries, what we talked about. You know, now I'm not going to sit here and tell you, like, he's elite.
Right.
Because he has been held under 3 yards per carry 4 times in the last 2 years. But, man, he's a daggone solid running back. I think the biggest question for me with Trey Wisner is, one, can he stay healthy? Because obviously you had some injury right. issues last year. And two, how much of the workload is he going to split with Kroma?
Yeah, let me just tell you, let me get that. He once had a 13-game streak of 50 yards in those 13 games. So, like, you know that he can create consistency. Here's what I like about Trey Wisner. You know, one of my favorite descriptions of a player is make a miss in a phone booth. That is literally what should be on his gravestone when he dies someday. He can make you miss in a phone booth. I mean, this dude is skittity scat. I mean, he's just like, woo. And what I love about it, the most part, is that not only is the fact that he can make you miss, he's not a dancer. He's not going to dance and juke and all that. He's going to make one move, and he's going to put his foot in the ground, and then he's going to go. And then the other thing I love about Trey Wisner is, and I'll explain what I mean by this, he's a great track runner. And what I mean is, in the running back room, you are set on a track, meaning you have a pathway that the play is designed for you to run through, whether you're going to run off tackle, whether you're going to run in between the left guard, the right guard, whether, you know, they call the gaps, A gap, B gap, C gap, right? Whatever gap. Whatever the track is designed for you to run is the track you should stay on, because that's where the offensive line is moving towards. Trey Wisner is an incredible track runner. He will see the track develop, make his one move, put his foot in the ground, and then just hit the hole. And I really like that about a running back. I love the electricness that he can provide, the fact that he can make you miss in a phone booth. He doesn't dance too much. And like you said, when he gets in the open field, he can make you pay. I really, really like that about Trey Wisner.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm really, like, I'm excited about Kroma. I'm really excited about what Trey Wisner right. brings. I mean, I do think he's better than what you had last year in Salchuk. You know, and so that's a great point. I mean, I played a little bit of fullback in high school, you know, back when fullbacks existed. Yeah. And they were always like, trust your blockers, man.
Right.
Let the play set up. That's where the hole's going to be. And you just right. got to be there at the right time. And so, right. yeah, man. I mean, again, there's a lot of consternation back and forth about what this team has and what it doesn't have. And I think when you're talking about getting Texas, a team that made the playoffs 2 years ago, right, and a team that's been consistently good, when you get their leading rusher for the past 2 years – it's almost kind of like, how did that happen? You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm not mad at it at all. So right. now the next one we're going to talk about here is the homegrown guy, the right. one that I actually would like, I would prefer, as much as I like Trey Wisner, I would prefer the bell cow back to be Usman Kroma, because he is that homegrown guy. And honestly, you know, I can't confirm or deny this, but when he signed, it took a lot to get him from Georgia,
yes,
flip him from Georgia. And, you know, we had kind of heard that was a 2-year contract. And so, like, you better give him reason to stay for a right. year three if you want him to stay for year three. So, again, coming in 6'1", 225, sophomore. He's got good size. Both of these guys are pretty close in size. So, it's going to, yep. you know, that's why I look at kind of the 1A, 1B here. Played in all 12 games as a true freshman last year. 72 attempts, 408 yards, 5.67 yards per attempt. Very impressive. Did not have a rushing touchdown, but he did add 9 receptions, 147 yards, and did score 1 time on a pass play there. Only 2 games with double-digit carries. Again, this is going back to the just kind of stupidity of the rotation that they ran last year. To me, by the way things were shaking out towards the end of the season, I really think he should have been your feature back.
Yep.
And that's just the way they handled it. So hopefully that's what he gets this year. He gets a lot bigger workload. Like I said, just not a lot, man. But he averaged over 4 yards per carry in 10 of the 12 games. Season high was 63 yards against Virginia on only 12 carries. He also added another 55 versus Pitt on only 7 carries. So, man, when he got an opportunity, he did a lot with it. So, looking at some of his numbers here, man, among Power 4 freshman running backs, of course, with a snap filter applied, this filtered down to 25 running backs, he was 4th in yards after contact on average. He was tied for 6th in runs of 10-plus yards and missed tackles forced, and he was 8th in yards per carry. So, he was one of the better freshman running backs in the country last year. He just really didn't get a whole lot of opportunity. He was 8th in the country among all Power 4 running backs last year in PFF's elusive rating, which they say is a signature stat of theirs that measures success and impact of a runner with the ball independently of the blocking. So
yeah.
basically, even if the Dalvin Cook stat is what you should call it, like even if the blocking ain't great, the man's making something happen. Now, here's another stat that, man, I had to do some research to even figure out what this was. but it's yards per route run, right? Yeah. So basically what yards per route run, it tells you how productive a player is as a receiver every time he actually is sent out on a route. For running back, it helps separate a true receiving weapon from a guy who just piled up catches because the offense threw him a bunch of checkdowns. For instance, a back with 500 receiving yards might look better than a back with 300 receiving yards, but if the first guy ran 400 routes and the second guy ran 150 routes, the second guy was actually more efficient. So it's basically a receiving efficiency stat. Anyway, the reason I bring that up, Usman Khroma was the number one running back in the entire Power Four in yards per route run last year. So, man, really, you're just starting to see that, like, the special sauce is there.
Yes.
He just didn't get enough of an opportunity to show it last year. Now, he was praised in spring for taking a, quote-unquote, big step by the coaching staff. And one thing I do want to remind you guys of, remember, he was a summer enrollee last year. He did not even get to participate in spring, right? So he was basically straight into the fire as a true freshman, fall camp, straight into the season. So now, not only having 1 year of experience, 1 year of college strength and development, and also having a spring this year, that should help out. And, you know, man, the last thing I want to say here about Khroma before I kick it back to you is, like, you know, people like to talk a lot about recruiting and the struggles with Mike Norvell at Florida State. We've talked a lot about it too. Well, man, remember, like, per the 247 composite, Khroma was a top five running back and a top 100 player nationally coming out of high school that you flipped from Georgia.
Correct.
He might be the top rated. I'm not 100% sure on this, but he might be the top rated, one of the, if not maybe Deuce, the top rated recruits on this entire roster.
Yeah.
So, like, when we talk about this team, and, you know, I think the big thing about Florida State as a whole, when you look at it in 2026, is, like, you know, you got a lot of decent floor players, but who's your ceiling players besides Deuce? Man, there is a world out there. Like, what if this kid really is special? Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Dalvin Cook, but, like, he was another highly rated running back coming out of high school. So, like, what if this kid really is special? What if he has a legitimate breakout season? What if he rushes for over 1,000 yards and Wisner hits something like 500-600 yards like he did last year at Texas? Right. And then what if, you know, Deuce goes for 1,000 yards as a receiver and Khroma goes for 1,000 yards as a rusher? Like, how does that change your picture of the offense that's going to be leaning heavily on the running game to begin with? And when you look back at Mike Norvell's history, I know it hasn't been great at Florida State, but looking at Memphis, I went back to just look at some things. Like, there was, in 2017, he had an 1,100-yard rusher plus another 800-plus-yard rusher with a 1,500-yard receiver. Man, if you get something like that, in 2018, he had 2,000-yard rushers, and one of them almost hit 2,000 yards plus a 1,000-yard receiver. You know, in 2019, he had a 1,500-yard receiver, three 300-yard receivers, running backs, and a receiver go over 1,000 yards. So, you know, again, man, I know we get stuck in the mindset of 2024 and how bad that offense was. Mike Norvell's got a pretty decent history of doing some play calling and putting together some offenses. It just hasn't worked out the same way at Florida State. But my point being is, like, if you're to circle an X factor on the 2026 season, like, if this guy breaks out, what does that do for your season? To me, that's Usman Khroma, because Deuce, I think, has proven he's going to be good. Yeah. Usman Khroma is the X factor for the season to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I really think that this should be your feature back. It should be him 1A and then Trey Wisner 1B. And that's your 21 personnel right there. Because you have, when you're going to run it for Trey, you got Usman as the lead blocker. When you're running it for Usman, you got Trey that can go out on an out route, a wheel route that will clear out a linebacker and give Usman more room to run. Listen. Unless you have WMDs, you're not getting this dude down on first contact, because this guy is a first contact non-starter. He is not going down on first contact. Doesn't matter. He is going to hit you. He's going to seek that contact, and then he's going to still run for 5 or 6 yards even after contact. I mean, just from his freshman year, he was one of the best to do that. When he puts his foot in the ground, it's a powerful that step, and he will run. His only downside, in my mind, is he doesn't use his power as much as he should, meaning he will sometimes dance too much in the phone booth, okay? He doesn't have that kind of twitch, though he can make you miss a little bit. He doesn't have the Trey Wisner twitch. And sometimes he tries to act in that way when he just needs to just get downhill, put a shoulder in somebody, because he is really good on first contact of carrying his defender. He has good speed. So if you get him, if you can get him in open field, he can make you miss, and he can get down the field quickly in a hurry. I love that he's a track runner as well, too. He'll see a track. He'll dance on that track, which kind of frustrates me, but he will stay on that track as well. He's got a powerful stiff arm, move there as well. And he's really good. He's a really good blocker when it comes to on pass blocking as well too. I really think that Mike Norvell this year should make him their feature back. I mean, you're paying a lot of money for this guy, and let's be real, Jesse, this might be the last year he's a Florida State Seminole. Let's just go ahead and just call it what it is. This might be the last year he's a Seminole, because his they got him on a 2-year deal, I heard. And so once this is up, he's going to be hot on the market, especially if he has a decent season that's even better than his freshman year.
Yeah, and I mean, if you have an elite-level talent, you need to use it as much as possible while you got it, right? Point blank, period. And some of the things that you talked about that he needs to improve on, you know, maybe that's just being a freshman. Maybe that's the difference in the college game and high school game. And now with another year of experience and a new running back coach, they can kind of get some of those things hammered out. But yeah, I definitely think he should be your feature back. And then you just, you know, you have Trey Wisner as much as you can help. But, man, to have Chroma break out this year, I mean, again, but you saw enough last year where it was like, again, like we talked about, man, there's something to this kid. Right. You just got to give him the opportunity to show it. And now with another year, the game will slow down a little bit. The physicality, you know, his just physical presence will pick up a little bit from being in a college strength and conditioning like we talked about. And so I'm really, really excited because, like I said, man, this is a guy that if he breaks out, if he goes for 1,200 yards in a season, that changes the outlook of your offense. Right. And so to me, yeah, he's the biggest X factor in an offense that's going to rely heavily on its running backs. Right. Let's be frank. Right. Now, when we get further down the list here, you're looking at Sam Singleton Jr., 5'11", 200-pound redshirt junior, has been around the program for a while, so he does have some experience. 2025, he had 51 attempts, 360 yards, 7 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns, added 21 receptions for 93 yards. Now, to be fair, 168 of those yards and 3 of the 4 touchdowns were against cupcake opponents.
Right.
But again, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I think this is a guy where he'll probably see some carries against New Mexico State. He'll probably get the bulk of the carries against the Central Arkansas.
Right.
You know, say you break the game open against Boston College, you'll probably see him get most of the carries, you know, from a workload management to kind of spell those two guys that you want to keep fresh. He did put up 91 yards and a touchdown against Wake Forest. And when I think of Sam Singleton, speed is the first thing that comes to my mind. So I definitely, like I said, I think Wisner and Chrome will be the 1-2 punch. But I do think Singleton can be a good change of pace back as a speed back. And I think he can help carry the load to kind of keep those legs fresh, right? I think he's, if you're going to have a guy come in late in the game with fresh legs, I think Sam Singleton's a pretty good one to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, like you said, the name of his game is speed. Get him in the open field and you're not catching him. He was I believe he was a pretty highly rated recruit coming to Florida State. And he has just gotten lost in the shuffle of just all the transition, all the running backs that they've recruited. But man, every time this kid gets a chance, I'm just rooting so hard for him because he has stayed. When he could have transferred, when he could have left, he has stayed and he has stayed true to his commitment. He's a good running back. He is fast. He doesn't read the holes very well often. I think that's part of his issue is that he can't see the track very well. Sometimes he'll run right into the back of an offensive lineman maybe on the offensive line there too as well. He's not as great of a blocker when it comes to the pass game, so that's an issue you worry about. But, man, if he's taking another step this year, that speed on that field, I could see him being leveraged in those packages where they run those wheel routes or what Mike Norvell calls a rail route where the running back's kind of coming out of that, the kind of confused the linebacker, making him force him to pick either the tight end or the other running back. And you got him wide open on the sideline there. Mike Norvell loves to call that play. I could see them using Sam Singleton in that way to get that speed and take advantage of it. But man, this is a guy that I just really like this kid. I think he could be, if he could just take that next step, he could be that other running back that they go to spell Chroma and Wisner.
Yeah, I mean, you got three really good. I mean, you got really good depth at the running back position this year. And it's not just like, oh, you got depth because you got a bunch of bodies.
Correct.
Yeah, it's some talented guys. Your top three are really good, and your top two could be special, and your top one could be a game changer.
Yes.
Now, when you fill out the rest of the room, one of the kind of guys that slips through the cracks here is Jamari Sands, 5'11", 200-pound redshirt junior, comes over from Florida Atlantic. Last year did lead their team in rushing, 105 attempts, 465 yards, 4.43 yards per carry. Did not score a rushing touchdown. But I think where you're going to see this guy excel is he did have 40 receptions last year for 217 yards. As I said, he did lead Florida Atlantic in rushing. Did have one 100-yard rushing game against Florida International. Split carries with another back. Only had only 5 of 12 games did he have double-digit carries. So he just really didn't get a ton of opportunities. Like I said, only around 100 carries last year. But then he did face one Power 4 team, which was Maryland. He had 9 attempts for 44 yards, 4.89 yards per carry, added 3 receptions for 19 yards. Didn't hear much about him in the spring. When I think of Jamari Sands, man, I'm just looking at he's a solid all-purpose back. Can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. I'm not really sure how much work he's going to get when you didn't hear much about him in the spring. You know, obviously this is a guy, how does he translate coming over from that G5 level from Florida Atlantic? But I think he does provide you some experience, solid depth over the course of the season. And he's a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield, so you could work in some packages for him as well. Obviously your sole focus is going to be on your top two with getting Sam Singleton a bulk of the extra carries. And then, you know, this is going to be more of a depth guy. But, you know, again, man, he's got some things to him that if it translates well to the Power 4, you could see where he could be used in some packages. But, you know, again, it just helps fill out the depth of the room.
Yeah, you're probably going to see more of him in, like, the cupcake games, probably towards the end there as they get those other guys. I would imagine that if you're seeing him early in other games, unless he is in some kind of, you know, special package, if there's something special about him, that there must be an injury issue happening. And so we don't want that to happen. No offense to the guy. Seems like a good kid. Obviously, coming up from the G5 level to the Power 4 level, that's a different animal, especially for running backs. Not every running back can translate in that jump. So, again, you're probably only seeing this guy in cupcake games. You're probably not going to likely see him in any other game this season.
Yeah, and then to round out the room here, you have former four-star recruit in the 247 composite. He was a three-star in just the 247 rankings, and that is Amari Thomas, number 24 running back in the 2026 class. I mean, this kid, now, he didn't play against the greatest competition, but he put up video game numbers in high school. And so there's probably a little bit of something there for him. You had him, and then I think that's the one that flipped to South Carolina and then flipped back to Florida State. Now, he did get praise in spring for capitalizing on his opportunities. Obviously, if we just spent a lot of time talking about filtering down this running back rotation, you're not going to expect to see much of him this year unless it's against like Central Arkansas or something like that. But again, it's a talented freshman that maybe you can see a few glimpses of in the cupcake games. You also have Zay Parks in the room, was a freshman last year, had 15 carries for 95 yards and a touchdown, but it all came against East Texas A&M and Kent State, did not play in any other games. So, you know, again, man, when you talk about that Central Arkansas game, you're 3 games into the year already.
Right.
I don't think you need to put Kroma or Wisner on the field. I think this is one where you let the rest of the room handle that, and that may be the opportunity to see them get some carries. But again, I mean, you got some talent in the depth. It's just I don't think you're going to see it much this year.
Yeah. Well, let me go back real quick to the Amari Thomas guy. When Jesse says video game numbers, I mean, my goodness.
Sorry.
2023, 1,365 yards, 22 touchdowns. 2024, 1,880 yards, 34 touchdowns, 12.3 yards per rush in 10 games. 2025, 1,799 yards, 21 touchdowns on 117 carries. I mean, Lord Jesus Christ. That is insane. That's crazy. What I'm running on College Football 26 right now, and I still can't win the Heisman. What is this kid doing? No, but he's going to be hopefully somebody that they make a future investment in. They get him built up. They get him up to the Power 4 level body size and understanding college offenses. I think this kid could be something for you down the road. But, yeah, you're not really seeing him this season because that would mean that the other guys may have been injured.
Yeah, and so let's bring it home here, man, with some final thoughts on this running back room. Obviously, this one was going to be nowhere near as long as the quarterback position. Obviously, we have wide receivers, tight ends, offensive line, and the defense to go. So make sure you tune back in for those as well. But, man, all in all, when I look at this room, you know, Trey Wisner was brought in to be that steady veteran presence to go along with a talented but young Kroma. You know, he's never had to be that feature back,
right?
Whereas Trey Wisner has done that. You know, again, like I said, I kind of view them to be more of the 1A, 1B with Sam Singleton, kind of an RB3. And then the other ones that we mentioned would provide depth and then cleanup duty. You know, I mean, again, in a way, you were kind of like, why did we even take Wisner when we had Kroma?
Right.
And Singleton, but man, you know, for injury purposes and things like that, it's long season. I have no problem with taking Wisner, especially when he's just a daggone good player. Like, you want as many horses in the stable as you can get, right? Also, keep in mind that Ashton Daniels will be a big part of this run game this year. Like I said on our quarterback preview, I would really like to see him go north of 100 carries this year. I mean, that's a big part of it. The biggest thing I want to see more than anything is just fixing that disastrous rotation that we saw last year. Ride the hot hand. You know, let the one and two get going and keep them going. You know, but again, man, you got two really top-tier running backs when you look at the top of this room that, you know, and Wisner has proven production at the highest level. Now, with Daniels in the mix, if the offensive line can turn out to be even decent, and again, we're going to talk about that offensive line coming up here in a couple episodes, man, I think we could have a really solid ground game. And by solid, I mean pretty darn good. I mean, you look at last year, I know that was a Gus Malzahn offense, but they were 11th last year, 218 yards per game. I know they ran for like a million yards against the Cupcakes. But even when you filter down to just against Power Four, they were still 22nd in the country at 176.5 yards per game. In 2022, as I mentioned before, Mike Norvell, you know, they were 214 yards per game on average. And against Power Four, they were still at 193. So I still think you're going to see this be a pretty darn good rushing offense based on Mike Norvell's history. And again, man, when you look at Cam Martin and you look at Herb Hand, like when we talk about that offensive line, yes, that is probably going to be almost the biggest factor is the talent that you have in the running back room, right? But at UCF in 2023 and 2024, they had a top five rushing offense in yards per game and yards per carry. And in 2024, they had terrible quarterback play.
Yep.
But they still produced on the ground because they had RJ Harvey, who, by the way, was coached by Cam Martin and, by the way, ran behind Herb Hand's offensive line.
Right.
So those things alone, Cam Martin, Herb Hand, and two talented running backs make me feel like this is going to be a solid rushing unit this year. I do think in terms of just players, I think it's an upgrade when you talk about skill from Kroma being in year two. Wisner, I like better than I did Salchuk.
Yeah.
And then I kind of like Ashton Daniels as a runner better than Tommy. Yes. I just like the durability, the running style, not the gimmicky type of stuff there. Now, I will say, to be fair, man, like some of the caveats to this is I'm not convinced that the entirety of that offensive line is going to be better. And that's going to be a factor because, again, Michael Pettis was a top 10 tackle coming back in the SEC. Luke Pettibon was the number one graded center in the ACC who had transferred to you from Wake Forest. Now, you do have Xavier Chaplin, who was a really good offensive tackle. I think he's kind of your ceiling player. But the rest of this group, a lot of it, you know, is coming from Purdue and some FCS level and some G5 teams. So there's going to be some not really sure. You know, maybe we even get to see some homegrown guys in that group, like an Otto and things like that. So we'll see. I just don't think their ceiling is as high, but I do feel good about Herb Hand getting together a serviceable unit here. Now, one of the other things I do want to mention before I throw it back to you is, as we always couch on the show, teams are allowed to get better or worse, right? And we talked about last episode where a lot of the teams last year were not good in passing defense. Well, that's because they were pretty good in rushing defense, right? Six teams on this year's schedule had a top 25 run defense last year. So it's going to be tough sledding. You're going to have to earn every yard that you get. Now, again, you're talking about like a Miami who doesn't have Bane and Mezidor anymore.
Right.
So those are going to be things that they're going to have to replace those guys. So we don't know what those teams are going to look like. But pretty much Boston College and New Mexico State and obviously Central Arkansas were the only teams that were not good at rush defense that you should be able to run all over at will at. So, man, I'm really excited about this running back room. I think there are a few caveats to it. Like, you got to see how the offensive line is going to shake out. You're going to probably have some good run defenses on the schedule. But, you know, when you talk about just from a talent perspective and a coaching perspective, I think you've made a pretty good upgrade from where you were at last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would agree as well, too. And not to give away our offensive line preview, but yeah, we'll talk. We're gonna dive more into that offensive line, get you more like in detail, kind of what we're seeing there as far as their ceiling and their floor and what Herb Hand has particularly have produced versus what we think he could be what he could be coming up in as well too. So yeah, I think overall my final thoughts on this this running back room is I think it's a good room. Listen, running backs in this day and age are a dime a dozen. You can go get them from all walks of life, all shapes and forms. And so you want to have as many good ones as you can have in the stable, because they do get injured more because they're taking hits and beating all the time. So because of that, I do think, man, second year with Osman Kruma,
that's a tough name, man.
Trey Wisner, I think those are going to be your two focus and feature backs. I think Kruma will be number one. I think Wisner will be right there. And then you have like a third kind of change of pace with Sam Singleton in that speed. I think those are the three backs you're going into the season saying, hey, we're trying to get all that. Mike Norvell is going to want to run the ball, particularly because Ashton Daniels is not the greatest of passers. Mike Norvell is going to want to run Ashton Daniels. I mean, at minimum, I can't remember what we said in the quarterback preview, but our hope is that
700 to 800 yards.
700 to 800 yards for Daniels.
Yeah.
Right? 1,000-yard feature back in Kruma or Wisner, whichever one. You know, probably 500 to 600 yards for Sam Singleton. If he can get there, then you would consider that successful. That means that you're controlling tempo, you're controlling pace, you're controlling the clock, you're setting up for the deep ball. There's so much that is predicated on a Mike Norvell offense of being able to run the ball, especially with a quarterback who is not maybe as pristine in his passing acumen as he is in his running acumen. So this room is going to be the second most important room behind the offensive line, because like you said, if you're not Dalvin Cook, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be able to run the ball a la 2024. Look at that offense when the offensive line was terrible. They couldn't even, the running back would barely even see the ball and he'd have four defenders in his face. So one of the most important rooms, but one of the rooms that Jesse and I both believe actually has the talent, the depth, and the ability to be a breakout room this year.
Yeah, and I think Phil Steele had us number three running back room in the ACC and top 25 in the country, and I agree. I think this is one of the better running back rooms in the ACC. That's going to depend a lot on the offensive line, obviously. And, you know, the passing game, it's really important for them to be good in the ground game, because you don't want to have to put a lot of this offense on Ashton Daniels' arm, right? But Ashton Daniels has to be able to throw the ball enough to be able to back that defense off, to keep them honest. If you load the box, you're just going to be in trouble.
Right.
You know, we saw a lot of that they weren't good at anything in 2024, but we saw a lot of that with 2024. Like, teams were just disrespectful with their defense because they knew you couldn't throw on them. So that's one of the big things, man. And I just, you know, I was thinking back and like of let's just say Kruma breaks out. You know what I mean? Let's just say he has that thing. I could see where this could almost kind of shake out. This team could kind of shake out similar to some of the late era Jimbo teams where, like, you know, in 2015, you just in 15 on the high side because they won 10 games, 17 on the low side because they only won seven. But like, you didn't have exceptional quarterback play. Right. You didn't have any household names at receiver. You know, Deuce is better than probably anything you had on either one of them teams.
Yep.
The offensive line was just kind of average. Yeah. But you had Cam Akers, who was a 1,000-yard rusher and just a special back. You had Dalvin Cook, who could run on anybody and anywhere at any time.
Right.
And so, like, man, if you have just good enough at the quarterback position with a little bit of talent at the receiver position, and the offensive line is just average, but you have a special running back, that changes what your offense can be. And you got two of them that could be special, right? I mean, you have two. One's a proven 1,000-yard rusher from a playoff team, and one of them is one of the better running backs you've had on the roster in quite some time. So, man, again, it's going to depend heavily on up front, but I am very excited about this room. Like you said in the opening of the show, man, this is the one room I don't worry about. Right.
Correct.
Now, the offensive line might limit what they can do if they're not good, but this is the one room that, man, like, I can sleep good on this offensive room and not feel bad about it at all. So, man, really excited to see these guys get some action this year. But that's going to do it, guys, for the running back preview. Make sure you stay tuned. The next one coming up, we'll have receivers and tight ends. Then we'll have the offensive line. We also have ACC Media Days coming up in just 2 weeks or less than 2 weeks now. So we'll be on location in Charlotte talking with the players and the coaches there and getting you guys some info. So make sure you lock in with us for all of that stuff coming up. Hit that like and subscribe button. Again, I cannot thank you guys enough for boosting us by 65 subscribers in the last week. We are so close to 3,000 now. Maybe this episode can finally do that. If you're a podcast-only listener, a rate and review on the podcast definitely helps us reach other Noel fans. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor. We really appreciate that. You can also check everything we do out over at our website, plantthespear.com. We've been rolling out a bunch of written articles over there. We have all our podcast episodes, our YouTube videos, all that stuff can be found right there in one convenient place at plantthespear.com. And again, we are just days away from rolling out the new thing that we've been keeping secret for a while. I actually made a teaser post on social media, so you can probably figure out what we're talking about from there. But man, it's going to be really exciting. By the time you're watching this, it might already even be live. So it's going to be a new home for Seminole Sports Talk. And man, we're really excited about it. So can't wait to share that with you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to put a teaser out there. We're excited about the new thing that's coming that it's going to, I think it's going to be a game changer for our PTS family. But also, man, go read our articles. Go, man, Jesse did an incredible preview, QB preview. You can either watch the episode or you can go read it because it's even more in depth. Some of the things that didn't make it into the episode are in that article. So make sure you go read it. Also coming up on the website is an article. If you're curious about Florida State financials, kind of what it's look like, what where we are as far as revenue versus expenses, I did a big breakdown of that, and that's going to be on the
website. It's live now. It's ready to go.
It's live now, right now. So you can go see that as well. As well as we did a whole article on this season being a referendum for Mike Norvell. And so there's some details in there that you'll want to go check out, man. Get to the website, go read it, man, and share it. If you could help us share those articles, man, we're not just a YouTube site. We are a full-fledged FSU fan media site for FSU fans.
Yeah, man, you couldn't have said it better myself. We are doing everything the big sites are doing. We're just not quite as big yet. So we appreciate you guys helping us grow and get to that. And I'm telling you, this thing that we're about to release is going to be a game changer for us here at Plant the Spear and the community. So again, we cannot thank you guys enough for your support over the years. And we really appreciate you guys watching. Hit that like and subscribe button, rate and review on the podcast, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for watching. Go Noles.
Go Noles.